As we are in Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 through 21 this morning, let's read. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. What is the view that those who are maturing in Christ should take? Well, being fully aware of our present reality, we should press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, we must press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's what we saw in the passage last week, and that's what Paul is having in mind when he says, this is what, you know, those who are maturing in Christ, this is the view that you need to have. This is the world view. This is the filter by which you should look at all things. This is your perspective that you need. And so he says, this is what we must have in view. We are going to have this path before us, and this path and this perspective needs to be clear. Well, who will help us to have a clear view and to press on with perseverance? The Lord himself. It's no longer us. We're not trying to clear our view and, you know, strengthen ourselves and make sure we can do it. We're saying, Lord God, I thank you that you have brought me to this understanding and realization, and now as I press on, you continue to make the way plain before me, clear before me. You continue to clear all the that is necessary in from my sight, so that I'm not distracted, or I'm not, you know, clouded, my vision is not clouded in some way, but instead you make things clear so that I may press on. The Lord himself is going to do that. Only as we are pressing on, notice what Paul states in verse 16. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. To mature as disciples of Christ, to continue to grow and to progress, where the Bible says your progress will be evident to all, if there is that kind of tangible maturity taking place, our goal should be that we're not regressing, we're not falling back, or that we're not restarting. You know, we're going through and then we fall terribly and then we say, oh, we got to go back to the beginning and start all over. That's not the point, or that's not the goal that we would have. We want to mature in such a way that we're making forward progress. So when climbing a mountain or running a marathon or taking ground in a battle, we make progress from where we are, regardless of the setbacks, of stumbles, of diversions, of delays or attacks or anything else. We say, wherever I'm at right now, I don't just say, oh, it's no use, I just give up. Or we don't say, well, you know, I've failed so badly, I'll have to go restart. No, we assess where we are, we see what's going on, and we say, now, from here, right here, how do I make progress? How do I keep going? How do I accomplish this goal that the Lord has given me and that He empowers me for? So each new day, we build on what we have attained the previous day, the previous days, lives, you know, years, that the lives meaning the all the seasons of life. Each new day, we are pressing on based on what we have attained so far. That needs to be our motivation and our theme, our focus. So what is it that we have attained and need to live up to? Well, the beauty of the Christian life and our wonderful Heavenly Father's care and provision for us is that, as it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, the Lord, through His divine power, has given us. Past tense. Notice the past tense. He has given us everything we need for a godly life. In fact, in the ESV, it states, He has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. You're wondering what you should do about your job. You're wondering about a spouse. You're wondering about the car you should buy. You're wondering about how to parent your children. You're wondering about the marriage. You're wondering about the, you know, your cooking. You're wondering about your dressing. You're wondering about your makeup. You're wondering whatever pertains to life and godliness. Whatever pertains to life and godliness, God has actually given us, given, past tense, everything we need to know for life and godliness. Everything that pertains to life. So that should motivate us to say, that means everything in my life, that means everything I bring to the Lord, that means everything I pray about, that means everything I'm not anxious about, because the Lord has something to say about it. So the Bible doesn't say buy this car, but it does tell you how you should consider that buying process and how you make that decision and how you come to the Lord. So think about what this statement is saying, that He has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Every one of those words and phrases are important. Those words and phrases are absolutely true. They are absolute truth, not relative truth. They are absolutely true. They are life-giving, as you say, oh, look, boy, look, listen to this. And they describe how we are equipped and enabled on the way. Think about that, that we have knowledge of God, the creator of the universe. We have knowledge of Him. I'm not suggesting to you that we have complete or exhaustive or, you know, the full knowledge of God, but we have sufficient knowledge of Him to be able to live our life. We are called by Him, so we don't despair as we go about our daily lives. And we have received His glory and His goodness so that we are able to live victorious Christian lives. What a privilege. What a joy that this should captivate us and should encourage us and strengthen us, that we say, oh, I'm going to press on. This life is worth, this kind of life in Christ is worth pressing on. And so, when we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and He gave us the gift of salvation and filled us with Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit, He gave, past tense, He gave. The Lord has already given us everything we need to live a godly life. Praise the Lord. So, I want to highlight seven truths or realities, seven enablers, seven life sources that the Lord has already given us, seven provisions of the Lord we have already attained, meaning He's already provided, but we have not fully appropriated, or we may not be living up to those things. And so if we're not aware that we're missing something, if we're lacking something, then we will never pay attention to it. But when we become aware of that and we say, oh, here's something the Lord has already given me, I'm not even using any of this. I'm not living up to this. I am not making use of this. I'm not availing myself of this. It's like, you know, you think about whatever it may be in the world that would help you, that would give you the means that you need, and just think about it in terms of financial things, and you need something, and somebody has put $1 million into your account, and you said, oh, well, yeah, I saw that balance is there in my account, placed there by this other person, but you know, I haven't used it yet. And the question that everybody around you will be going, why not? Why haven't you lived up or taken advantage of or availed yourself to that which you have already attained? That's what the Word of God is saying. Jesus has already done all this. And so, as we go through this list, I want you to just consider, I'm going through it fairly quickly, but I want you to consider what the Lord has already done for us. And we begin by saying, oh, we have already attained salvation. Not by our good works, not by anything that we would do to deserve it, not for any other reason than because of the grace of God, than because of the kindness and mercy of God, and most importantly, because of what He has already done on the cross. And we'll come back to the cross later, but the point is that the Lord has saved us. He has already done this. We don't come into the relationship with God. We don't come to a church and then say, okay, what do I have to do to gain salvation? You've already got it. You've already been given salvation. You've been set free. You've been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. You've been rescued. You've been ransomed. You've been joined into the body of Christ. You have been made one with Christ. You have been filled with the Holy Spirit. These are privileges and the positions that you didn't earn. It was not because you earned this that you say, oh, I got it, but rather because the Lord Jesus has done it. He has accomplished all of this so that merely by receiving what He has done for us, we may be saved. We have already received salvation. Praise the Lord. And if you are sitting here today and you're not sure about that, we talked about this at 9 o'clock too. Maybe you've gone through life and you're not sure. What am I saved? What does that mean? Am I actually joined to the Lord Jesus? What will happen to me when I die? If you're not sure about that, then I would encourage you, I would tell you, by all means, make that sure. Come to know what the salvation of the Lord Jesus is, what He has done and accomplished, and how that is available for you to receive freely. Freely He has given this. So, we have already attained salvation. The most important thing that we could do. What is it, even as we were talking about this last week, what does it profit us to gain the whole world and lose our soul? But here it is. The Lord has promised, the Lord has done this, that He has saved us, so that we are transformed, so that we will be joined with Him in eternity. We have already attained or received salvation. The next thing, we have already attained or received the Word of God. Now, the Lord continues to speak to every one of us. The Lord continues to answer our cry. And the Lord continues to give jobs in response to requests in prayer for jobs, and He gives healing, and He, you know, gives provision, and He gives wisdom, and the Lord speaks to us continuously. However, He's also given us His complete Word, the written Word, that is sufficient, that is all that we need for living our lives, that contains the principles and the truths, the eternal principles and truths that will guide and direct our steps in all circumstances. The Word of God has been given. And again, if you have a doubt about that, if you're not sure how to understand the Word of God, if you're not sure whether these 66 books in the Bible are the authoritative Word of God, why do we claim that? What are we saying? What does that mean? How are you so confident in saying that this is the Word of God? How do we know this? And why should we apply this? If you have a doubt about that, if you have a question about that, by all means raise the question. show up in the sermon discussion, do whatever is necessary, but make again this call or this truth real. Be confirmed. Be sure of this. The Lord has given us His word. He's done it in miraculous ways. It is absolutely stunning to know how the word of God, the Bible, was given to us. It is remarkable. And when you understand that and you comprehend that, but most importantly, when you receive that, then you say, Lord, you've given me all these instructions for everything for life and godliness. Let me study your word. Let me go to your word. Let me receive your word. Let me be committed to have your word in me, in my heart, that I might not sin against you, in my heart that I might know you, in my heart that I may know how to obey you, in my heart that I would speak it out loud, that I would mutter, that I would meditate on and recite your word on my lips. The word of God has already been given. We're not seeking something. We're not like, there's no hidden mystery. There's nothing, you know, there's no codes in the buildings in D.C. There's nothing that you have to go and solve. It's been given. It's been given. What we have to do is now to live up to it, to attain, to live up to this word of God, meaning to receive it and to study it and to meditate on it and to say, Lord God, thank you for what you have given. I receive it and I live according to it. All right. Let's keep moving. We have already attained salvation. We have already attained the Word of God. We have already attained or received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that has been at work even from the creation of the world, or pre-existent, of course, before even the creation of the world, but very apparent in the creation of the world and all through the history of humanity. Jesus said, it is good for me that I physically am going away from you, because when I go, I will send you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will come and He will fill you and He will remind you of what I have said, and He will lead you and guide you and direct you in the way that you should go, and the Holy Spirit will empower you, and the Holy Spirit will comfort you, and the Holy Spirit will be with you. Oh, the Holy Spirit has already been given. Again, all that has been provided, let us avail ourselves of it, so that we say, Holy Spirit, you come. And I know that you are in me because I am saved, because I have accepted the Lord Jesus, because I have received the salvation of the Lord. But you fill me now, Lord. Let there not be any room in me and in my heart that is closed off to the work of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let me open my heart. Let me open my life so that you come and you fill all of me. All of me surrendered to you. All of me attaining the promised Holy Spirit. All of me being filled with the filling Holy Spirit. That's His role. He comes to fill us and to be in us and to overflow from us, so that we say, oh, thank you, Lord, for what you have already done. Let me receive it. Now, we have gone through the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit in other portions of Scripture. So again, what does the Holy Spirit do for us, and how does He do that, and how does He manifest Himself through us? There's plenty more to be said about that. This morning, all I wanted to remind you of is the Holy Spirit has already been given. We're not on a quest. We're not on some kind of pilgrimage to say, at the end of this thing, somehow I will get the Holy Spirit, the Holy Grail. You know, we're not on a quest. Yet the Holy Spirit has already been given. All we have to do is to say, Lord, come, do your work in me. I surrender to you. And then, as we continue to wait on the Lord in these ways, we have already attained faith. When the Lord is at work in us, it is because He has caused faith to arise that we even say, I believe in the Lord Jesus. I believe in what He did on the cross. I believe that He paid the price. I believe that He atoned for my sins. I believe that He has given me life. And I put faith in this truth, not because I saw it with my eyes, not because there was some other kind of evidence that I was believing in. Unless I see with my eyes, I put my hand in the wound, I will not believe. That may be our initial statement, but when faith arose in us, the faith that the Lord Himself makes possible, we're able to say, I believe, I trust, I put my faith in God. So the faith that is necessary has already been given. And then what we're praying for, or the attaining of it, is to say, Lord, increase my faith. Let it go from faith to faith, a level of faith to the next level of faith. Let me exercise faith for the small things, therefore that I will believe you for the big things. Let me, Lord, walk in faith consistently and regularly, not paying attention to you, and to have faith only when I'm in need. Oh, I have this big need. I need this. I need that. Lord, I believe you. I believe that you can answer prayer. Lord, you're a healer. Oh, you know. No, but every single day, going about our every simple activity, praying in faith, doing very trivial things. Why is it that we are kept safe on the roads? You know, it's not because you're the best driver in the world. No, it's because the Lord continues to preserve us. And so we exercise faith even in the most trivial things that we would do, right? And we say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I believe that you will lead me and guide me and direct me, and that you will do this. Again, we've talked about faith in other contexts, and I'm simply saying that there is the faith of the Lord that we would appropriate, that we would attain, that we would take hold of. The next thing is that we have already attained prayer. Jesus said, this is how you can pray. And he gave an example. But all through the Bible, all through the Word of God, we have very simple and very beautiful expressions of people merely or simply talking to God. That's what prayer is. He's already given us this privilege that we can approach the throne of grace, that we can express what is in our hearts, that we can say to him how we really feel. We don't make it something that is not. We don't say, oh, I feel really bad, but I better not say that to God. Or we don't say, oh, you know, I'm going to use these specific words and then only will the Lord hear me. No. The Lord has already established a means by which we can communicate with him, that we can lay before him every concern, that we can cast our cares on him because he cares for us. And then he has made it possible for us to hear him, to listen to him. This two-way communication that prayer can be, that prayer is. He's made that possible already. We're not coming into some new revelation. The people who have written books on prayer didn't come up with the topic. They didn't come up with this method. They didn't say, oh, you do these six things. They are simply amplifying. They're simply explaining or elaborating on what the Lord has already given us, the means of coming to him in prayer. So when he says, pray without ceasing, we don't have to say, oh, I don't know what that means. We just start talking to the Lord. We start listening to him. We start paying attention. And we say, oh, Lord God, I want to attain to what you have already given. You've given me this opportunity and means of talking to you. I want to live according to that. And then we have already attained a mission, a purpose, a call. God has already said, this is why I have made you my child. If nothing else, to glorify him and to make his name known, to make others aware that there is a true and living God. But for every one of us, I assure you, no matter what age you are, no matter what state of life you're in, season of life you're in, what state of body or health you may be in, whatever it may be, there is a purpose and a call for your life. You're not in any way less than what the Lord has intended for you. And so that is important for us, to attain that truth, to appropriate that truth, and to say, I'm not living on this earth just by accident and without any purpose, with you know, just living aimlessly, eat, drink, and be merry, tomorrow I die. No, I have a purpose in my life. I have a call. There is a mission for me. There is a commission for me. And so, Lord, help me to appropriate that. Help me to attain the understanding of that mission and call for my life. It doesn't matter what age you are. You may be very young, you may be very old. You may be frail, you may be healthy. It doesn't matter. That you would say, Lord God, whatever you want me to do, help me to do that. Help me to lay hold of that. Help me to persevere in this purpose that you have for me. The Lord has already purposed. The Bible tells us that before even the creation of the world, the Lord had determined, the Lord knew the days of our lives. What does that mean? He knows exactly what the purpose you have for your life, that you came into existence, and that the length of those days and what the end will be, all of that before the creation of the world. The creation of the world was some time ago. And he knows what your life needs to be even before that. He, who is outside of time and space, knows exactly what the purpose for your life is. Shouldn't we pay attention? Shouldn't we attain? Shouldn't we go to him and say, oh God, what am I supposed to be doing? What is it that you want from me? What is it that you have laid out? So that as I do that, as I purpose, as I press on, as I persevere, as I mature as a disciple of Christ in that particular purpose and plan that you have called me to. Oh, it's not that as I do that, I will become famous in the world. It's not that as I do that, I will become the wealthiest person in the world. It's not that as I do that, oh, I will have a great impact and influence on everybody. Maybe you will. Maybe you will. But the most important thing is that as you pursue, as you attain, as you live up to this mission and call and the purpose that the Lord has for you, you will, in fact, be doing what is best for you. You want to live your best life? Don't live it according to what the world tells you. Do it in fulfillment of God's call for you. And when you do that, oh, you will not just be impacting your own. It won't be that you just say, I'm living a satisfied, a contented life, but I'm having an impact on somebody. Maybe just one person. Maybe even that person doesn't even know that you're having an impact on them. Nobody knows. But you are living in faithfulness to the Lord's call. You're woken up in the middle of the night to pray for somebody in somebody else, some other part of the world, and that person never even knew you prayed for them. But you prayed, and you obeyed, and you stayed faithful, and you fulfilled your purpose. Oh, you attain what the Lord has already done for you. So we have this mission. And then we have already attained the examples that we need to follow. Note verse 17 that we read in the passage this morning. Paul says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, well, who's the us? He's talking about Timothy and Epaphroditus. He's referred to them already. And he says, just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Keep your eyes on those examples. Those people that have gone on ahead, that cloud of witnesses that is already there cheering you on. Keep your eyes on those that may be here in the present that are examples. And always, as we spoke about this before, look and consider the end of their days or the outcome of their faith. Don't put them on a pedestal. Don't try to say that, oh, this person, oh, they are something. But say the Lord is something, and because the Lord is everything, he has enabled this person to live according to the Lord's purpose and plan and call. I can also do the same. So your eyes are not fixed on the example. Your eyes are fixed on Jesus, and the examples are there to encourage you, to spur you, to help you, to keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus. But the Lord has already given us this. You know, just think about this. If Jesus was the only one who lived a perfect life, and there were no examples for us to follow, if Paul and others couldn't say, look at me, what would we say? We'd say, well, it was Jesus. He was perfect. He was God. I can't do that. But we look at flawed individuals. We look at people all through the Old Testament and in the New Testament and in our lives, and we say, in spite of their flaws and in spite of their setbacks and in spite of their sins and in spite of their, you know, just rebellion, I thank you, God, that I see in these people how the Lord can work, how the Lord does work. And so I can be inspired. I can be encouraged to keep pressing on. So let us live up. Let us live as the Lord directs with regard to every one of these seven provisions, these seven realities, these truths. And here's what happens if we're living as the Lord directs. We will not have space in our lives for ourselves. If we truly are filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no room for us anymore. Our sinful desires are crucified with Christ Jesus. Our passions are put to death. Our sinful nature is removed, and the presence of the Lord fills. When we are living as the Lord directs, we will not have the opportunity to fulfill our desires, which are what will lead us astray. And that becomes important, because the directive that we have here in verse 18 and 19 is this, that we are not to live for our appetites or for earthly things. Verse 18 and 19, Paul says, "For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things." The cross of Christ represents the fulfillment of Christ's atoning sacrifice for the payment of our sins and the redemption of our lives. When we live for ourselves, we live as enemies of the cross, because there is no sacrifice, there is no redemption, there is no love. We're living selfish, indulgent lives that are centered around feeding our desires, our appetites, and trying to consume all that we can. We're focused on committing shameful acts. We may not even think that they were shameful before or while we're doing them, but they are shameful acts. And we are committed or focused on pursuing material or earthly riches and glory. When we're focused on ourselves, we live in that way. Our mind is set on earthly things. Why is setting our mind on earthly things contrary to our purpose in life and therefore detrimental to living godly lives? Because, as Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. What a promise. What a anticipation that we would look forward to that kind of fulfillment. When we live as the Lord directs, we will walk blamelessly and yield to the Holy Spirit to cleanse us and sanctify us, to be prepared as a spotless bride for Jesus' coming. He's returning. He's returning for his body, for his bride, for the church. And so we are able to be prepared to be spotless and ready as we would live in this way. So we respond and apply the word of God that we have heard by living up to what we have already attained. We must be humble. We must be humble as we go about this pressing on, maturing in Christ, to admit our ignorance. We don't know a lot of things. We must be humble to admit our inconsistencies. We do one thing one time and then we don't. We're inconsistent with our walk in the Lord. We must be humble to admit our inaccuracies, not just our ignorance, but we have believed something wrong. It's not what the Bible says, but we've held on to it because of whatever reason. Maybe it was what somebody told us, maybe it was what we came up with, maybe it was convenient. Maybe it was, you know, somehow facilitating something that we wanted. And we've held on to inaccuracies and all sorts of deviations. Ultimately, we are able to return to the Lord and have him guide and direct our steps. I read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 earlier. I want to return to that scripture and read on from chapter 1, verse 3, on through to chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 to 11 says this, listen. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, his divine power, his knowledge, his calling, his glory, his goodness, through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or said another way, as you possess these qualities in increasing measure, as you press on, as you mature as a disciple of Christ, you will be effective and productive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind. We have to pray for that clear view. If we don't have these things, we are nearsighted and blind. And the Lord will cause us to mature and to be having clear vision so that we will forget all the things that we have from the past, but we will not forget that we have been cleansed from our past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is an ultimate goal: to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let us live up to what He has already provided. Let us live up to what we have already attained. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace and mercy in our lives. We thank you for the beautiful, wonderful Word of God. We thank you that it gives us life, and it gives it to us more abundantly. We thank you, Lord, that the promise of your word is that it will provide us the knowledge of God himself, the knowledge of the Lord Almighty. And as we grow in the knowledge of God, help us, Lord, to grow in the obedience to God. Lord, to seek to fulfill your word and your commands, because we are living up to what you have already told us. We don't have to go find some new thing. You've already told us how we are to live our lives, how we can be godly, how we can receive you. Help us, Lord, to put that into practice, to live up to it. Father God, make this true in our lives, in our families, in this church, that we truly live up to what we have already attained. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.